Welcome to Directly Speaking, a direct-to-consumer marketers podcast. Our podcast features marketing leaders of today in the direct-to-consumer and e-commerce space. We get to learn a little bit about their brands and the stories behind them, compare notes about trends and challenges in the industry, learn how they approach their marketing journey, and hopefully we get to know them a little bit better personally too. I'm your host, Marcus Lancaster, head of direct-to-consumer strategy at Quad. Joining us today is Scott Thomas, head of marketing at Ownwell. Ownwell is a young and rapidly expanding company that helps homeowners appeal to their property taxes in six states, including Texas, Georgia, and Illinois. Scott's professional journey has taken him across industries such as fintech, SaaS, consumer tech, and entertainment, and he brings 20 years of marketing experience to Ownwell, including time with established brands like Coca-Cola Company, the Cartoon Network, and emerging digital platforms like AutoTrader and Dealer.com. Scott, thanks for joining us on the podcast.
Hey, Marcus. Thanks for having me.
It's such a cool business model you guys have, and I really enjoyed when we first chatted getting to know a little bit about it. I'm sure our listeners don't really understand it, so why don't you start off by talking to us about what Ownwell does?
Absolutely. You know, at 10,000 feet, the company was founded. We have three founders to help democratize access to a variety of different tools and processes to help people reduce the cost of owning their home, which is, you know, one of your biggest investments. And, you know, interesting insight that they had is that two largest investments for people is typically their 401k, depending on how old you are, and your home. And people use their left brain, you know, when they're thinking about their 401k, you know, am I paying too much in fees? You know, is this the right cost, the right balance of what I'm doing in terms of investment? Whereas on your home, your second largest investment, it's more of a right brain thing. It's where I live. It's the bills that come. I guess they're the bills. I guess I better just pay them. And that same person doesn't use those same analytical and evaluative skills on this second major investment, or many times their biggest investment. And so we're really here to help raise awareness of that. And then again, provide some tools to help, you know, reduce costs where we can and make sure.
So how do you do it?
Yeah, well, you know, our core product is centered around property taxes. And so everybody knows that feeling. You go out to the mailbox, you get that letter from the county, and you open it up and see that your tax bill went up X amount, hopefully not XX amount. And, you know, depending on how you're paying your bill, your monthly payment goes up. If you're having your you're having your bank pay your taxes for you, your escrow. But either way, you've got that sticker shock, and then you kind of move on. And what's interesting is, you know, across the US, and this varies a little bit by state, most people have an awareness that you can appeal your property taxes. And in each state, there are slightly different words for it. Some call it a grievance, some call it a protest. Appeal is the most common way to think about it. But, you know, people are aware you could do it, but they have no idea what's involved. What are the risks? You know, do I need a law degree to do it? And so very few people actually ever take the time to truly research and then actually appeal their property taxes. And the big
so
fact.
So what percentage of people actually do it, Scott? If 40% people know about it, put me in the six, less than 10. Wow. Yeah. No way.
Yeah. And it's, you know, there's some states, like I said, are higher than others, but overall, those are very strong statistics nationwide. And when you layer on this last fact, which is really the shocker, is over 45% on average of people's homes are overtaxed. And so you 48%, 45%.
Why is that?
Paying too much. You know, it's if you think about the states having to manage, you know, a large footprint of, you know, of geography, but also a variety of different home sizes and values and neighborhoods and all the things that go into real estate. They use what I call a pretty blunt instrument to kind of say, hey, property values are going up or down X amount. They make some, you know, rough adjustments by certain areas, and then they just push it out.
They split the right down the middle, and they say, we think this is the increase. And so therefore some people are getting cheated out of it, and some people are getting a benefit.
That is exactly right. You know, and on average, they're trying to do the right thing. You know, that certainly, you know, all of our state politicians are trying to do right by their constituents. It's just a matter of the precision of individual homes. And that's where Ownwell can come in.
So how does Ownwell work? What do you guys do?
So with this particular product, and we're in the process of adding other products as well. I don't know if I mentioned at the top, we're a three-year-old company. So we're in that hyper growth phase. This is the core product that we're starting with. But as the counties release their assessments for all the homes in each county, in each state, we get that information is publicly available. We download that into a proprietary algorithm that allows us to take a much closer look on a property level basis, how your home is being taxed relative to your neighbors, relative to other neighborhoods. And so we're able to put a lot more into the analysis than the county is, and certainly more than the homeowner can do. And as we identify specific properties that are overtaxed, we're actually, you know, using one-to-one marketing as our core. We're doing other things too, but we're sending letters or postcards directly to you to say, hey, Marcus Lancaster, your house at this address has been assessed at this amount. We believe it should be this amount based on the factors that we pull together. If you want us to, we will appeal your property taxes for you. We charge nothing up front. We work exclusively on a contingency fee. So you only pay if you save. So, and you pay 25% of your savings for that year. So it's very low risk, you know, for the homeowner, and very high reward in many cases.
Well, this is fantastic and fascinating. So where are you guys active? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so we're active in six states, Texas being our biggest state, not just because of geography, but because of some of the tax laws. We're expanding in Georgia, Illinois, and then kind of our secondary markets right now are Florida, Washington, and California.
Will you come to Michigan? Because I just got really jacked in my cottage
Valuation. I'm from upstate New York, and all of my friends and family are like, when are you coming up to New York as well? So, you know, we're looking to expand our footprint because the algorithm that we have makes sense across a variety of different geographies. The places we probably won't go will be the very northern states where, you know, large ranches, you know, large, you know, plots of land where there isn't as much variability from neighbor to neighbor on taxation because, you know, it's a ranch, it's a farm, things like that. So.
Well, let's dive into your customer a little bit, because I was actually, you know, the data point that surprised me when we first talked and surprised me again when we're talking here today is where you said 40% of people know you can appeal. I didn't. So what does your customer look like? You said they're one-to-one, you're reaching them in a one-to-one manner, but let's first talk about who they are and, you know, who challenges their taxation.
Yeah. So, you know, I know that I'm talking to fellow marketers, but I'll start with, you know, the top thought process, which is our customers in theory could be anyone who owns a house who, you know, has the potential to be overtaxed. And one of the things that is important to us in terms of a company core value is that we democratize access to the ability to appeal property taxes and other tools that we'll bring to bear that will help people reduce the cost of owning a home. And so we do not target based on household income or home value, although since we do work on a contingency, the more valuable your home, likely the bigger savings we'll get for you. But we do keep to our core in making sure that we provide our services to anybody who's interested in using them, regardless of the potential for us to make money at the bottom line. And so really at that point with the founders and when the company first started, we're about 3 years old now, we were targeting just like what I mentioned is like, look at the tax roll, provide a list of people that we think we can save money for, which is, you know, hundreds and hundreds of thousands of people, millions really, you know, in Texas alone. And we start with one-to-one marketing. We've had great success with that. You know, we've been honing that, and that's really where I met you and where we were talking about different, you know, direct mail and one-to-one marketing, whether that's postcards or letters and layering in some other elements. This year we began to walk our way up the funnel. So, you know, we started including acquisition media and then upper level of media as well, you know, with connected TV and PR. So trying to work the whole funnel. And focus from there.
Forgive me for interrupting you. I'd love it if you could expand on that, because I'm guessing a big part of your challenges are educational. You not only need to engage me as a homeowner that I can lower my taxes in a direct marketing manner, but you also need to make sure I know I can do it so that when that letter arrives, I'm signing up.
Yep. And along with, you know, as part of that education too, understanding the process and how that could work, but also understanding, you know, the risks and rewards. The risks are very, very small. You know, the vast majority of counties will not penalize a property owner for appealing their taxes. There are a few anomalies out there, and to be fully transparent, we simply don't operate in those counties where that is a risk, because we don't want to put any customer at risk, even if it's a small one, of seeing their taxes go up. So, you know, educating people that, hey, we're a legit company, how the process works, and that this is a pretty low risk thing to do, and that we are a white glove. We handle everything from start to finish. Our sign up process is very simple. Very low friction for our marketers out there. We don't require a credit card up front, which is typically a big breakage point. And then we bill on the back end.
That's fantastic. All right. So let's dive into those two kind of parts of the funnel, if you will, if we're going to macro level break it down. In the direct marketing, the more performance related channels, what channels are you finding are working best?
Yeah. So of course, direct mail, which I've talked about, and that really was the foundation of the company. You know, no surprise, you know, search is working well for us. And you know, we've been more than doubled our investment there this year, particularly in Texas. We also started working on search associated acquisition media. So utilizing Google's PMax, if you know, they're for our My Media folks out there, where we're getting multimedia, but is still able to optimize using the Google algorithm. Bing has really sprung up this year. And, you know, we've seen a lot of good success with them. It's more of, you know, how much we can spend there, but it's growing. I think Microsoft is, you know, whether it's, I hypothesize as a marketer with some of the AI stuff that they're rolling out and Copilot, that maybe their audience is growing, and that, of course, you know, echoes right into search, you know, for us. But Google is the big driver for us as we go up the funnel. PR is the main tactic that we're using, and we're relatively new to that as a company. But getting
say more about know, that. Our,
yeah, so I invested a good amount of time, effort, and money into getting. Contacting reporters and contacting local news outlets and doing stories on, hey, here's what's happening in our city with taxes. And we do partner with local government as well as appropriate and share data. Again, you know, none of the state government officials are trying to overtax anyone. So we do share information along the way. And if they, you know, choose to use it, you know, we want them to make sure that everybody's being taxed fairly. And that kind of partnership also, you know, helps us and helps our customers as well. We combine, you know, the benefits of AI and, you know, start the process of evaluating whether you're being overtaxed strictly from an algorithm perspective. But all of that information gets packed up into an appeal packet, passed to a property tax consultant who is a local expert in each area. And then that person takes it from there, looks at your individual appeal, and then represents you at county hearings. So we start to have relationships with the county officials at that level as well. And they know that we come in with legit data and, you know, present fair cases. And, you know, we're really looking just to make sure people are getting taxed fairly.
Got it. Okay. Let's come back to the upper funnel side of the equation. You just talked about PR a little bit. What are some of the other upper funnel strategies you've used, and how long have you had them going on, and have you been able to measure their effectiveness?
Yes, all great questions. So this year is really the first year where we started investing in upper funnel. Full transparency, we passed our Series A. So company, you know, profitable company, but now we've got that big infusion from investors because we've proven that our model works and what we could do. So we've been scaling, you know, across the board, including our investment in marketing. So this, I say season, because we're headquartered in Texas and the season ends around May 15th. And so we invested, you know, 100% more than we've done in the past, but not a ton of money relative to what we're doing on an acquisition side to do some local television, you know, with, you know, traditional 30-second, 15-second ads. One features our CEO, Colton Pace. Another one is more traditional ad with actors. Interesting fact is that the one that features our CEO just telling, hey, this is what we do. This is how we do it. Here's how you can engage with us, or here's how you can have us help you, performed far better than the character story that we developed with the other spot. And I developed two very different upper funnel communications on purpose. Going into it, I would have thought that the one with the story was going to work a little better because we show someone at their mailbox getting that assessment and like, oh, what do I do now kind of thing. So figuring that would resonate with people. But, you know, interestingly, you know, Colton, very straightforward, you know, spot explaining what we do, how we do it, and how to come, you know, and visit our website to learn more, performed about 13% better.
Oh, fantastic.
In terms of, you know, kind of the overall impact. So, you know, what is our return on that investment? I'm literally neck deep in data looking at that right now. And that is always the hardest thing for all of us marketers to determine value of our funnel media and spend.
Yeah, it's very hard. Well, the old fashioned A-B test is always a good way to start, or in kind of an ABC, the two components and the no upper funnel coverage piece you've got. But it kind of leads to a question. You say managing data. What is the biggest challenge you're facing as a marketer these days?
You know, right now, you know, attribution, you know, in a word, right? And I think that's probably what we all face is that with, you know, a one-to-one letter, we literally know, you know, at a customer level, Marcus received a letter from us or a postcard or both. This is one of the things that we experimented with, a letter plus a reminder. So we can see, you know, did you sign up? How soon from when we estimate the letter was in your mailbox to when you signed up? So we have that. But then you think about the other, you know, typical customer behaviors are you get a letter and maybe you go Google something. Well, now we've got that tag going. And then, you know, we have an interview on local TV with Colton, you know, or we're running an ad on a local station. We also experimented with connected TV, which does allow some level of attribution, but you're kind of the spot airs to your target. And within the next 14 days, if they sign up, you can get attribution that way. At the end of the day, all of these reports add up to more customers than you have.
Exactly. Well, incrementality, attribution, and however you phrase it, that seems to be a recurring theme in terms of the biggest challenges our customers are facing. Let's pivot a little bit to you. What gets you up in the morning? What are the things that energize you, Scott, and get you charged up?
You know, thank you for that very warm intro. You know, so I appreciate you sharing all that. But, you know, as you look at, you know, my career so far, I've worked in a variety of different verticals. And the one thing that is common among all these is marketing. I enjoy marketing. Certainly some categories have been more interesting than others, but I love learning a new business, just like Own Well. I didn't know a lot about property taxation before I came here. That's fun. But the marketing piece is fun and figuring out how do I get my message to the right person so they do the right thing, right? And then how do I, you know, attribute that to certain tactics and continue to invest and grow? So, you know, really that is what excites me, is influencing people in the right way. And with products that I believe in. I absolutely will not market something that I don't believe in.
Well, I really like what you're saying a lot there, because marketing gets a bad rap in pop culture, as it were. But in reality, and Ownwell is a classic example of a company that's doing good things. So it's a question of getting your message to the right people so they know that that product is available to them. And, you know, at our best as marketers, that's what we do.
Right. Exactly. That's exactly what we should be doing, you know, is bringing something of value to customers. And certainly our product is very interesting because you literally pay nothing. If we don't win your case, even if we think we can, and we have, depending on the state, but I'll throw a number out there anyway, you know, well over an 80% success rate for the appeals that we do process. Super proud of the business model that we have and that we're able to make it work.
All right. So if you're a student of marketing, I'll take it a different thing. What is some content that you've consumed or that you find inspirational that you could share with our group?
Yeah. You know, there certainly are, you know, positive and negative things said about, you know, social media, and particularly as we're getting into video media. TikTok certainly spearheaded it, but you can get short video in a variety of different places, you know, whether that's, you know, on Meta or YouTube, you name it. So, but it's easy to point to something like TikTok or whatever, but short video content and video content creators who are very thoughtful about what they're doing and keep to a thematic, I think can help educate people. And that's an opportunity that I want to try and figure out in the coming year is how do I connect Ownwell, at least get our message into the hands of people who are creating video content to help people manage the cost of owning a home, saving money, making sure you're taxed fairly. But I think that's just a big opportunity and is exciting from a marketing perspective, but hard to harness.
Very cool. All right. So you've got a great experience as a marketer across a lot of brands, Coca-Cola, Auto Trader, the Cartoon Network. I'm sure you've learned a ton in this 20-year career you've been on.
Yes, absolutely.
What's one thing that you've learned that you know now that you wish you'd have known before you started this journey?
You know, it's not a specific thing that happened, but it's a concept. All of us are, you know, anyone who's listening to a podcast and, you know, works in marketing is probably a very driven individual who wants to do things well and wants to see true success at whatever they do. And I wish that I was able to internalize earlier in my career that a failed test can be just as valuable as a test that you win. I mean, of course, we always want to knock it out of the park. But, you know, we get these base hits and we build them into a big plan. And then we, you know, we strike out on things. And a lot of times we don't want to look at that. Oh, God, that didn't work. What happened? And, you know, and just, you know, brush it under the rug, you know, because you just don't want to, you know, merchandise it. You don't want to think about it. And really, it's something that doesn't work. We should really roll it around, you know, and talk about it. Why didn't that work? What happened? And pull some learning out of it. And then that's still a win. And I think it takes some, you have to get comfortable with yourself, with your ability, with your team, with your leadership, to be able to truly do that and say, hey, oh, here's something that we did. Didn't happen the way we thought it would. Here's why it didn't happen, or here's why we think it didn't happen. And then here's what we're going to do next. And, you know, when I was young in my career, I only wanted successes. You know,
I got you. I really like that a lot, because it's true. It takes a certain humility to be able to look at yourself and say, that didn't work. Why didn't it work? And if you can do that, you're going to be way ahead of the game for the next time.
Absolutely. And, you know, have the fortitude to share it, you know, and not brush it under the rug, you know, as you're presenting, here's all this great stuff we did this year, this season, and here's the things that didn't work the way we thought they would, and give that strong airtime too. And I think a lot of people don't want to do that. They're kind of, oh, you know, that didn't work.
So. That's awesome. Well, I thank you so much for that. And I'm really excited for when you're in Ohio and Michigan, because I'll be signing up right away. But in the meantime, if somebody wants to reach you, Scott, how do they do it?
Yeah, reach out to me on email. So it's I love being with a small company with a name like Scott Thomas. I rarely get simple email addresses, but I have one now. So scott@ownwell.com. Feel free to reach out to me. And if any of your listeners have the answer to attribution, send that over to me too.
Me too.
I know if they do, they're probably millionaires at this point, but it's always worth throwing a line in the water to see if I get something.
I love it. All right. Well, Scott, you've been a pleasure. Thank you so much for taking the time today. And thank you, everybody, for listening to another episode of Directly Speaking. We really hope you enjoyed the content, and we hope to have you with us again soon. Take care.